Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Come on, guys. Early worm gets the worm.
Another worm? Like, are they friends?
This early bird gets the worm.
With Dusty Hera.
That kid probably needs to be punched in the face.
In an ideal world, I would have all 10 fingers on my left hand, so my right hand could just be a fist for punching.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Who wants some man meat?
I do. I want some man meat.
No, I'm not a meat gazer.
Dusty and Cam on 1080.
He's like the Lone Ranger, and I'm like Tonto. And it's not like there was the Lone Ranger and Tonto and Bonto.
The Fan.
All right, Dusty Hera, Cam Cleland with you. We gave you appreciation of Damian Lillard with his rapping ability after we let you hear tennis player El Chapo rap.
Not to be confused with El Chapo.
Yeah, no. No, who's in the mega prison in Colorado, which that place still blows my mind. The mega prison, sensory deprivation prison. Mm-hmm. Oh, crazy. But let's appreciate Dame a little bit more. Jason Quick of The Athletic had a little piece, and I don't know how, if he stumbled into it or not. I'm sure they're going to talk to, he'll talk to Isaac and Suk about it today. But he has a piece up at The Athletic about mending fences between Damian Lillard and LaMarcus Aldridge. And I'm sure that, you know, Quick just probably reached out to LA to kind of get a sense of how he was feeling with Dame passing him on the all-time scoring list, because Damian Lillard is 3 points away from becoming the Blazers' number two all-time scoring leader, and will likely happen tomorrow when they play. But in doing so and talking to Dame and LaMarcus about this, a really interesting and inspiring story kind of comes out of it. And it tells the story of Dame and LaMarcus not getting along with each other, but not knowing why they never got along with each other in Portland, and how they've really become really good friends since LaMarcus Aldridge left Portland. One of the things that is in here, and you can speak to this because you've seen it firsthand in NFL locker rooms, I'm sure, is that basically Damian Lillard and LaMarcus Aldridge went through a time when Dame came into the league and LaMarcus was an all-star. It was LaMarcus Aldridge's team.
Yeah.
And Damian didn't want to come in and step on his toes and be like, I'm the guy, I'm taking over. So he just kind of laid in the weeds and took a back seat. LaMarcus Aldridge was never a vocal guy, and he didn't want to be a guy that felt that made Damian Lillard feel like he was telling him what to do and how to act and how to be. He wanted him to be his own man and be his own player. And so he never really stepped in and said anything. And what happened was a rift grew, not between the two of them, but outside of the locker room. And even within it, with guys like Jamal Crawford, who said, within the NBA, said, there's something wrong here. I know Dame. I know you, LaMarcus. You guys need to figure this blank out. Yeah. Because there is this idea that they didn't like each other. And both of them were like, no, I have no problems with him. Mm-hmm. And they finally spoke to each other, and now they've become very good friends.
Yeah, the outside noise, it can destroy you from the inside. And that's really what it is. And you look at it, and you can just see how the picture was painted as a young guy comes into an established all-star and a veteran. And then LA is just not, he's not a guy that's going to sit down and have a steak with you and spill his life story. That's just not what he is. It's not who he is. And Dame, however, is super social. He's outward. He's not only just, he's just a great leader. He's a natural leader. Mm-hmm. And you could just hear the interest level of, I can just hear the noise right away. Well, Marcus, it's Dame's team now. Read the articles, read that stuff. And I was like, what? And then I can see on the Dame side, he's like, Dame, you need to take over. It's your team. You're better than him. You're more vocal. And these guys probably never got to the point where they hashed it out. Or they just said, look, man, we can't let this outside noise take us down. It's not what, it's not about them. It's about us. And that's probably really what it's always, it's easy to figure out, but it's very difficult to deal with.
Well, and here's the thing is that you're talking about those inside conversations. According to those two, they never happened. Like yeah. Dame is saying his yeah. teammates weren't even saying, hey, you know, I think you're the guy. Dame just, everybody kind of just knew it. And because they didn't want to alienate LaMarcus, who was, I mean, Damian Lillard's first couple of years in the league, LaMarcus still was the best player on the team. He was the best yeah. player on the team, but it wasn't his team anymore.
Well, it's just, he wasn't that kind of leader. You know, you may find this amazing, but I love uncomfortable conversations. I do, because what it is it's transparency, but it also, it may not always be the most healthy thing to have, but as teammates in locker rooms, you got to have, there comes a time when you just look at each other and you go, okay, what are we doing here, man? What is this? There's passive aggressive, and LeBron is the king at the passive aggressive. I mean, he is just a king. You never feel like he's ever going to come out and say anything, but we don't know. Certainly with Dame in LA, it just could this have been more? That's the question I ask for all of us here as Portland Trailblazer fans now, is that could it have been a dynasty with these two? Could that have been repaired? Is there a way that we as fans or anybody within the outside could have helped grow this better, or was this just doomed?
No, and I think both of them acknowledge kind of this in the article with Quick, is it wouldn't have worked. The way that they were and coming in and taking over that roster
never worked.
It would have been hard to relinquish it. The way that it started, right? Yeah. If these conversations were to have happened, then they would have eventually gotten to a point where it could have coexisted. But what they're basically saying is that LaMarcus would have had to take a back seat. And he was told by management, by ownership, no, it's you now. Now that Brandon Roy's gone, it's you.
Yeah.
It's your team. The fact that he left, well, you sit there and you go, like Aldridge admits, he says, being a vet, I didn't handle him coming in well. I didn't want to make him think I was stifling his growth or have a mindset that I was hating on him. So I didn't say anything to him. And that was the wrong approach, because he told me he would have liked my guidance as a big brother. Yeah. And so you sit there and you look at that, like LaMarcus just wasn't physically or mentally ready for this, for him to handle a franchise. Basically what's saying is,
who's
that on? It's on him and it's on the team. Like, I mean, he just didn't grow up. He's growing up. Essentially, it was that change in going to San Antonio.
Maybe.
Is saying that, you know, the restart. He says he wants to come. LaMarcus in this article says he wants to come back to Portland and finish his career.
Okay.
He says that he wants to. And it was like, at the time, what could have been would have been amazing. But.
Wasn't ready for it.
They weren't ready. Neither of them were.
This text on the Better You Today text line. I blame radio hosts and the papers for creating fake beef news. I wasn't here at the time. I mean, I was at the tail end, but I don't remember getting to the point where we were trying to find a reason to drive a rift between the two. That's not the character of, but I can't sit there and tell you that you could see that there was an uncomfortable tension. Was there?
Yes.
I don't think back to that and go, man, I could just see it. I never felt that on the court.
Yeah.
Been in the locker room with those guys. I never sat in, did those interviews. So this is a different setup.
Here's the thing, is that there is an element to that, but basically this article is saying that what was being said outside in the outside noise, it wasn't wrong and it wasn't incorrect, because they didn't have a relationship. LaMarcus had relationships with, you know, the guys like Nick Batum that were on the team, you know, the Wes Matthews that were on the team. He had those pre-existing ones. And then Dame came in and he made his relationships with those other guys and they all became tight. But those two never made their own relationship. And so everybody could see that, because there's the laughing, there's the joking, there's that camaraderie that you would see, and it was pretty apparent. I mean, anybody watching at the time could see it wasn't the same.
As we look back on that when it happened, do you think that Neil O'Shea and the rest of the group and the Blazers really honing in on the word chemistry and continuity and how they just shoved it down our throat during that time? I do believe now, as I look back on it, that this was something that took over. It took over the locker room, and they were just like, the chemistry, the continuity, all the things that Neil O'Shea would come out and say as he was trying to find it just didn't happen with LaMarcus. No. I mean, I know that we see it now, and there's that chemistry that this team has. It's obvious now.
And there's a decent text here, too, that says, you know, the GM sucked at that time. And I won't say they sucked, but there's a lot of turnover during LaMarcus's career. There's a lot more front office stability, head coach stability.
Sure.
And you're not pulling in, trying to draw for that attention of who's the guy now, because everybody knows you have Neil, you have Terry, you have Dame.
Yep.
Those aren't changing. And everybody kind of falls in order. There was a lot of different factors at play.
Who wouldn't welcome LaMarcus Aldridge back at the end of this run?
Would there be
a complete just a we don't want you mentality? Or I mean, I would be like, please, come on, power forward. Even at the end of your career, if you want to come back for a 2-year stint, why would there be, if he wants a chance to have a second chance to redeem that? And who's to say that it wouldn't work? I don't know. I can't answer that question.
There are some factors at play here that we can kind of go through. He does have an extension that is in play, and he will be 35 when he hits free agency again.
Yeah.
LaMarcus will. So he's got
how many years? 2 years?
Two more years.
Okay.
What if he pulled
the I want out trade and I want to go back?
Well, then the Blazers would be on the hook for $26 and $24 million, respectively. And up to, there's a cap hold on his contract of $36 million for 2021. That's pretty hefty.
So it doesn't sound like it's going to happen.
And, you know, Buck and I, when I read this article, Buck and I were talking yesterday after the show. I'm like, well, when is this going to happen? Like, if LaMarcus wants to come back, when would this happen? And then I went and I looked. I'm like, oh, well, he's got 2018, 19, 19, 20, 20, 21. It'd be a really long time if this were to ever happen again. And I think that would be the one thing that holds it all back, because you're in a prime window right now where both of those guys, think about that lineup. Nurk, Dame, CJ, LA. Aminu at the three.
I'd like to say it would be great.
Why wouldn't it be?
I don't.
Hard to know that far out. It's
definitely.
In 2021.
It makes me think back to the basket, slow basketball, though. And that's the thing is what LaMarcus likes a slow half-court game. He doesn't want to get out and run. And the Blazers don't really get out and run anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't say that wouldn't be great.
Yeah, and this text still says Aldridge still gets booed at Moda now. He does.
That might change if he were wearing a different jersey again, though.
Sure would.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think the reason why he gets booed is because nobody knew these sides of the stories.
Yeah.
And that's an important thing to get. 55305, we'll get your feedback on this coming up next, because there's a lot on the Better You Today text line. I just opened it up right now. Great feedback from you guys on Dame and LaMarcus, the relationship and where it went wrong. Dustin Cam on the Fan. Jason Quick has a great article up on theathletic.com. Subscribe and see Quick's great work there. My favorite part about reading articles on The Athletic is that they swear in them. Like, you hear Dame drop an F-bomb and an S-bomb. Jamal Crawford in that article drops an S-bomb in there. Very adult reading there, because it's behind a paywall.
Yeah, it's behind the paywall.
You know? But it's an article about Dame in L.A. never talking about a rift between the two that existed but was never acknowledged in their time here. Dame didn't want to be the guy who's a youngster walking in and saying, my team now, it's my team. And L.A. didn't want to tell a rookie how to handle his business and was just a quiet and reserved person anyways. Mm-hmm. And that they never acknowledged what was happening with Dame taking over the team. And it's a big reason why LaMarcus left, is because he didn't feel like he was the guy. And this text on the Better You Today text line says LaMarcus is a Robin, not a Batman. Why can't he embrace that? I think the one thing I got out of this article is that he embraces it now.
Maybe he does.
I mean, he went with Greg Popovich. He went down and he saw kind of how it works elsewhere, and I think he does understand it.
And this text comes from P1 Billy. He says, I think the reason Dame is so big into a great teammate was because of the LaMarcus issue.
Yeah.
And he says, P.S., only a Blazer fan wouldn't want an all-star on their team because they felt disrespected. Is that not true?
Yeah, man.
I mean, I've scorned lovers. Is the Blazer fan here, is there any more scorned lovers in NBA right now?
They would gladly, Rip City would gladly welcome LaMarcus Aldridge back.
What but percentage would you say?
A section of the 300 level.
You went 300 level?
Section 315, yes.
That was able to go to the game once every 10 years?
Yeah, section 315 would not.
Well, one person on the Better You Today text line speaking for all of the Blazer fans that nobody here likes Aldridge.
Who said nobody?
One person on the text line.
That's one of my favorite words to use for idiots. Yeah. I hate that word.
See, and this is...
Is that a compound word? Are we going to take our English class?
What?
Nobody. It's like saying, hey,
knows.
You know what? It drives me insane. It drives me insane. When somebody says, hey, the Ducks, you know the Ducks are playing this weekend? Nobody.
Yeah, that always has bothered you.
Oh. Yeah. Because they're not nobodies, they're somebodies. Sorry.
Unless you're playing BYU.
I'm not sorry.
LA was never supposed to be a one. He was a two with Roy, and when his career ended earlier than expected, LA was forced to be a number one. He was never ready. I wholeheartedly agree. And that's, you know, it was supposed to be the three pillars. It was supposed to be Roy, Aldridge, Oden. And then... Yeah. Two of the pillars crumble, and everybody just looked at LaMarcus and was like,
hey, let's go.
Hi.
Well, what are you supposed to do as a franchise?
And then you jump on his back, and here comes Dame along, this little dude out of Weber State who's got swag dripping out of his ears, and you go, my God, how do we not follow this guy?
What's wrong with being a number two if you're not a number one? I mean, does Scottie Pippen sit around there and go, that Michael Jordan guy, if he wasn't there.
He was only a top 50 player in NBA history.
I mean, what does James Worthy say every time you bring that in? Byron Scott, I mean, Cooper, I mean, all these guys are during those times, those great runs. What does Danny Ainge say? And every time you think about Robert Parrish and it's just insane. And Kevin McHale.
Yeah.
What happened to the team?
Well, and this is the thing. I think that was the head scratching part for a lot of people who assume that LaMarcus Aldridge was leaving Portland to be a number one. And when he went to San Antonio, I remember we were like, that doesn't make sense. Like, if you want to be the guy, you don't go and play for Greg Popovich. He went and played with a bunch of Robins, like Duncan, Ginobili, Kawhi, Tony Parker, like all of these guys who just always took a backseat to each other. And I think he probably grew up and learned a lot from that experience as well.
He wanted to be around a winning culture. He probably wanted to be around, maybe he was pining for some discipline, some structure. And not saying that the Blazers didn't have that, but he wanted a different experience. Yeah. I mean, he's from Texas. Nobody knows, you know, inside LA's head. Yeah. So he wanted to go get a different view. All of us, you know, you date a different girl.
Yep. This text, P1 Raymond, I was pissed when LaMarcus left, but I understand why he needed to now. I would welcome him back with open arms. And I think a lot of people that are still upset at LaMarcus, if you haven't read Jason Quick's piece, I mean, I didn't have a full understanding of exactly why he left until this, where I was like, it addresses the Damian Lillard, LaMarcus Aldridge. Why the rift was there is because they were both too passive. At the time, that would not happen now. They would know their roles that they're stepping into. The only problem with all of this, as we discussed earlier, is that they're going, like, LaMarcus Aldridge has got till 2021 season he's a free agent.
Was there any truth when that first year, when LaMarcus, remember the reports were coming out, I can't remember the gal who said it, that LaMarcus wanted to come right back to Portland after that first year. Remember the reports where he wanted out, dealing with Pop and all that
stuff.
The
grass isn't always greener.
On the other side.
Yeah.
Isn't it always true that you look at it and you go, hey.
Yeah, probably.
Hey, that extra grassy there. Yeah. Hmm. But Texas has no state income tax and it's home, winning culture. He settled in.
This text, the media blew up a story about him not being invited to a party and labeled him LaMarcia and called him soft. I don't blame him for wanting to leave town. The media did not write the story about him not being invited to a party, but
I've never called him LaMarcia in my life, and I never will.
LaMarcia or LaSoftis, that was fans.
And if you're leaving Portland because the media is too harsh,
yeah,
boy,
New York and LA,
you're rude awakening about 20 other cities.
Guys, we're vicious here.
Yeah, it is.
We're ruthless.
Welcome to the jungle. Baby, you're going to get taken down in these mean streets.
Mean streets. We could be mean. I mean, I could be mean.
You're not going to be mean.
What do you mean?
You're not going to be mean.
Lighting on fire.
You're not going to do it. You're not going to
do it. I don't have a mean bone in my body.
P1 Luke, I love Aldridge even when he left. I wasn't mad at him. I actually root for the guy. Yeah. I'd welcome him back with open arms. I'd be down with an LA return. Can he be traded now? Yeah, he can be traded from, well, not like right now, but this offseason he could be. The Blazers would only have to, you know, clear up $26 million.
You have three max contracts. I don't know how that's possible.
Financially.
Not with, well, you're going to lose some guys this offseason.
Let's play this game that we play every single time. How many Myers Leonards will they take?
Well, if you get rid of Mo and Myers, you can afford him.
Package deal.
Yeah.
What do you think, Pop? Let's call RC Slocum and Greg Popovich and see
if they like it.
I have a feeling they still won't take it.
They won't?
No. Maybe they'll take Evan Turner's $18 million for next year.
Sure.
Ew. Okay.
God, 18 million at 12 minutes a game. Wonderful.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Come on.
I can't hate on it.
Come on, mean media.
No, I'm not mean. I can't hate on it.
Go mean media.
Yeah, driving in the Bentley.
All right. 55305, the better you today text line. We've had a hot discussion. Great poll questions at 1080 The Fan on Twitter that you can be a part of. We will give you the findings of our results of the poll, plus top quarterback wide receiver combos in the NFL. Who are your top five? Cam and I gave you ours earlier in the show. Could Derek Carr, Antonio Brown, and Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham join the top five combos in the league this year? First is Buck with SportsCenter. Does this song infuriate you? Nobody can. Nobody, Cam.
No, I like the way this is used because this is the confidence.
Ah.
This is the confidence that nobody's got what I got.
Nobody.
It's different when you say, hey, those nobodies are coming to play us. Well, they're not nobodies. The nobody is the loser that's sitting on the couch saying they're a nobody.
Oh, burn.
Burn.
What if that nobody was a somebody at some point?
Then that's a them problem.
Well.
What if it was somebody? Okay. Everybody's a somebody. Everybody is.
Including the guy on the couch.
Right.
So he can say it.
No.
Why?
He can say what he wants. Doesn't mean I agree with it.
He's a somebody, though.
We can drive you insane. Remember when everybody does that in college football? It's no more than in college football we hear it more than when the discussions of teams of Alabama playing nobody. Yeah, I know it's Old Dominion. And I know it's that. They're not great, but they're still somebody. They're still kids. They're still, you know, it's semantics of it. I don't like
it. I mean.
They're on scholarship. They're Division I athletes.
I read an article basically about like those FCS teams that go and play and they talk to a bunch of coaches. I think it was SB Nation did it. And how do you dress your team when you know you're getting your teeth kicked in? And one of the coaches was in that article going like, I mean, this is the time where people will know their name.
Yeah.
For a lot of those schools, it's like, literally nobody will know who they are unless they do something cool in that game.
If you ever had the opportunity to play against the best, would you turn it down or shy away and say no?
Well, that's how they pay for their athletic departments.
Sure.
I mean, unless you're Harvard and Yale, which apparently you're just getting money from celebrities to get your kids in as athletes.
I have always been fascinated by that phenomenon, though, is how do you approach that? You know what I mean?
How do you approach what?
What?
Well, no, I'm
bribing somebody.
Saying, hey, come play us for $1 million.
Or, hey, come get your butt kicked. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, how the coaches approach it with their players once they've already decided to. I mean, you can say, you know, we could be the one team, but realistically, when you're like UT Chattanooga and you're playing Bama, it just ain't happening, you know? So what is that speech like? Is it, we're getting our butts kicked, we're getting paid, and we're getting out of here? Is it, do something for yourself, your family, your career? What is the message in the locker room before those games?
So, Buck, do you remember, you've seen the movie Little Giants, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, do you remember when the story of how one time I beat my brother down the hill?
Of course.
One time. Portland State goes over to Washington State.
One time. And I know what
the things, Appalachian State, you know, things that happen, you will be remembered. It comes down. It's just like that memory of it. If that does that one, that's why you play the game. Cause one time.
So if you're the coach, you're using examples. Remember Appalachian State, remember Portland State,
one time.
But then you have instances like the 2012 Savannah State Tigers who, do we remember this team?
No.
They almost quit and just stopped playing.
Yeah.
Because their opener was against Oklahoma State, where they lost 84-0.
Yeah.
They then went on the road in week two to play number 6 Florida State, where they lost 55-0, and they just stopped playing.
Well, that's on the athletic director for scheduling that crap.
They were outscored 149-0 the first 2 weeks of the school. And Florida State players after the game were like, we could have scored 100. Yeah. Oklahoma State players after the game were like, we could have scored 100. No. And they went on to go like 1-9. They were bad. But I remember their head coach at the time going, we have no choice because these two games fund basketball, baseball, soccer, lacrosse, softball, whatever.
So would you tell your team that if you were a head coach, would you stand up in front of these guys and say, hey, look, guys, we're outmatched, we're undersized, everything. But remember, everything that is important to this game is because this game pays for all of our opportunity. So let's go get it.
Yeah.
I mean, do you just lie to him and say, I want you to, we got a shot.
Look, I've been a member of a team that, like, those teams that get their teeth kicked in by the Oregons and Washingtons of the world, they pay my school to go and play them so they can kick our teeth in. And that's basically what it is, hey, this is how your scholarship.
Yeah.
This is where we get your scholarship from. So.
And you know it.
So, I mean, there's nothing you can do. Except for go ahead and get beat handedly.
Did you ever feel like you learned more from losing than from winning in your life?
We had a game where we beat University of San Diego 1 year, and that was a springboard. That was a springboard for us. Mm-hmm. And then the next year, Jim Harbaugh beat us 52-10. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Well, we learned quite a bit out of that game. Yep. Whoa. Guess what? Well, we're not as good as we thought we were anymore. No. And they absolutely pummeled us that year. And yeah, you learn a ton out of those games and those instances.
As crazy it sounds, I won a 3-on-3 tournament, Hoop It Up in Seattle when I was a junior in college. And at the end, when you win the whole thing, you play the traveling former NBA guys.
Mm-hmm.
We almost beat them. Almost beat them, lost to them by 2. And I remember going on the block. And I went, this is what it's like to play against these are older guys. And they just, and then finally they just went, we'll play harder.
Yeah.
I learned more about just the competition of playing against guys that are better, going up against Reggie White's, going up against Kearse, going up against Kevin Green and these elite linebackers and that stuff. And I always go, man, if you're afraid or if you're not going to play against the best, don't even do it. Don't even bother. Yeah. Don't even bother showing up.
Yeah.
I think the coaches feel that way too. It's like, hey, Portland State, you got to go play some Pac-12 teams.
Yeah.
And one time, you might win.
Yeah. I'm reading this unbelievable thing about that Florida State game, the Savannah State, Florida State. So they lost 55-0. They just called the game and said it's over with 9 minutes to play in the third quarter.
So the white towel was waved.
They luckily
with 9 left in the third.
In the third, it was 55.
I didn't
to
know
nothing.
You could do that.
They're 3 minutes into the second half.
There was a lightning delay.
Oh, and they
okay, all right. Now I do remember that now.
And it was instead of like, hey, the weather will pass in 15 minutes.
Hey,
it was again. We're done.
What do you think the locker room of the it was Savannah State.
Savannah State.
What do you think that locker room was like?
Thank God. Thank God. Mm. Yeah. Florida State scored 35 points in the first quarter with, it appears, drives of 1, 3, 3, and they did not have a drive of over 8 plays, and they scored 35 points.
And I like this person on the Better You Today text line. Pretty simple. He says, or he or she says, you get to play in a giant stadium in front of a huge crowd against future NFL
guys.
That's
pretty cool.
How many reps can you win?
Yeah, that's a great way
to
look at it.
Just go out there. How many times can you beat the other guy?
Yeah.
Start there. Or how amazing is it to be out here on this field for this brief moment in time? You're going to take that with you, no matter how much of a butt kicking it is and getting your head smashed in. Well, not literally, but it's
pretty sweet.
I mean, it's, call me crazy. Sometimes it's fun to get your butt kicked.
Yeah.
It kind of is.
I got no problems crossing the middle of someone knocking me on my butt and sticking his hand out going, did you like that? I'll be right back.
Sure, let's do it
again. Did you like that? Let's do that again. I got no problems accepting that. It's part of the game.
It's when it happens for 60 straight minutes. No, it doesn't gets feel old.
All right, I've had 20 minutes to get my clock cleaned. That'll be about enough now.
All right, 55305, the Better You Today text line. I don't even know how we got there. What were we talking about?
We're talking about nobodies and the fact is the stop calling teams nobodies. Or right. Do it.
or do it. Or not. The choice is yours. 55305, the Better You Today text line. What to watch for tonight in the best combos between quarterbacks and wide receivers. We gave you our top five. Who are yours? Best quarterback receiver combos. Will Derek Carr and Antonio Brown, Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham Jr. join that list this year? Dustin Cam on the Fan. Zion Williamson will return tonight for the Duke Blue Devils.
Hallelujah.
Duke takes on Syracuse.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Hell yeah! They take on Jim Boeheim and Mike Lynch's Syracuse Orange in the ACC tournament at the Spectrum Center in Charlotte.
Nice.
Yeah.
Home game.
Definitely a home game. Well, it's a home game for most of the conference. You think of it, NC State, NC, Wake, Duke. You have four teams right there that are from the state of North Carolina that get to play in there.
Here's a question for you.
Okay.
Indiana or North Carolina? Bigger basketball mecca.
Indiana. Still.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because of the high school angle, too.
Okay.
I mean, you got Bobby Knight and all that stuff, but like basketball
when's the last
is
time
life.
In Indiana? I know.
Basketball is life in Indiana for the high schoolers and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, do we have the high school stories in North Carolina like they do in Indiana?
I don't know. That's kind of have to look at it. Because it bleeds all the way down into the youth side.
No.
And there's two states that you think of when you think of basketball, don't you? North Carolina and Indiana.
Yeah, I would go, if you're talking college basketball, it's North Carolina.
Yeah.
It's not close. Not close.
No.
If you're talking everything.
Just everything about it.
I'm going.
It's hard when you say Indiana, I immediately think basketball.
It's Hoosiers.
Yeah, it does.
You have Hoosiers, you have, you know, the high school basketball tournament. There. Yeah, it's got to be Indiana. So Zion will return to Duke. Ready
was that a 2-week layoff, 3-week layoff, 2 weeks?
Yeah, February 20th was that when he went down? Mm-hmm. So we're almost at a month. But we also have Thunder on the second of a back-to-back taking on the Indiana Pacers. If you're scoreboard watching for Blazer fans out there, last night the Thunder played Brooklyn in OKC tonight, second of the back-to-back, they go up to Indianapolis where they will, if a loss for OKC and the Blazers will have a half game lead over them for the four spot. So every loss matters because they can't finish tied in the tiebreaker. Blazers need a loss there. And if you haven't been watching, Indiana's actually good. They're actually really good. They're 43-25 and on the season, even without Victor Oladipo, but big one for the Blazers tonight, scoreboard watching. Also, why don't we call the Pacers Indy ever? We call the Colts Indy, but it just seems like the Pacers never get called Indy.
Really?
Yeah. Do you ever call, like when you're referring to the Pacers, is it ever Indy?
I think it's because Indianapolis is a really long word to say.
Well,
and Pacers is easy.
Well, it's
and Colts
Indiana,
is easy. Yeah.
But we call it Indy. Like Indy. You'll refer to it as Indy, won't you? When talking about the
I always
Colts?
Say the Colts.
Really?
You say Indy. I say Indy. The Colts.
See, I feel like I only say Indy when I'm talking about the place more than I am the team.
Right. Okay. I mostly say the Colts, I think. You're an Indy guy.
I'm an Indy guy. I am an Indy guy. So Indianapolis is the game, is the place there. To our poll questions where we asked you today, very important stuff, it being Pi Day, March 14th, is cheesecake a pie or a cake? 65% of respondents say a cheesecake is a cake.
Cake.
But it is a comeback on the pie front. So there's that. On the topics of desserts, round cake or square cake? Which one? At 1080 The Fan, round cake, 73%. Runaway there.
Yeah, it's a runaway.
That's surprising.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's surprising.
No, I don't think so.
I was picking up what you were putting down
with
your
conversation. I don't think it carries the weight.
And we have which Jim Henson show is better, Sesame Street or The Muppet Show?
Slam dunk here.
It's The Muppet Show, 64%. It's actually the closest race we have.
No.
Look at that.
Who knew?
And then Buck put this one up in the final hour in appreciation of Damian Lillard. Which performance would you rather execute publicly? Rap battle, dance off, karaoke. Winner, winner, chicken dinner, 65% karaoke. So, karaoke's
it. It's a custard, by the way.
We had a baker.
Baker.
Come in and say cheesecake is a custard.
So it's pastry its own entity.
It can be qualified as a pie if you want to, but it cannot be qualified as a cake.
So is cherry cheesecake a cake, or is it a cheesecake pie?
It's a cheese pie.
It's okay. Cherry custard.
Cherry custard. I see what you're going there. She's my cherry. Yeah.
Go ahead. Keep singing.
Just a song.
We will see you tomorrow. It'll be a weekend Would You Rather edition, a Friday edition of Dustin Cam in the Morning. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you Friday right here on 1080 The Fan. Up next is the Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague, 3 to 7, Primetime with Isaac and Soup. Ducks basketball, 8 o'clock is when they come on the air.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.